This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Older Voices is a programme made by CRY 104 FM on the lives of older people living in the Ballymacota and Ladysbridge area. Their stories are told in their own voices. In this episode, we speak again with John Motherway from Knockadoon. John has very fond memories of his childhood as a young boy living near Knockadoon. He came from a family of five and remembers walking the 2 miles to school and what they used to get up to along the way. Although John loved school, he didn't really want to be there any longer than he needed to. He was just like any other child in that sense.
I was five of us there, three girls and two boys. I was the second youngest. And we had a very happy life, like. And we're young, we're down the strand playing. We're only about a mile from the strand, like Paula Fook, as we know it, and quite close to Knockadoon. And we had a great, wonderful, wonderful childhood, like. Dad was working for farmers all his life, like. And that time, like, that was the work, you know. And I went to school in Kilmacdonough. It's closed now, there's a new school there now in Kilcridden, but I went to Kilmacdonough. We always called it high school because it's up in the hill, and we had a lovely, lovely time there. And my teacher was Con Ahern and his mum, Mrs. Ahern, and they were very, very good teachers. Going to school then, we used to walk to school that time. There was no bus, like, free bus, but like, they were wonderful, wonderful times, like. We used to go in over the hedge and steal some turnip and break it up and eat it like apples, you know, and the odd apple orchard, like, we went in there, you know.
And was there many houses in the area at the time, or?
That time, like, there'd be about maybe 10 houses on the road to school. You know, we were only 2 miles from school, like. But what we used to dread was, Mrs. Ahern, now, that was the infant's teacher, like, Con's mother. She used to come, Con wasn't used to be with her, like, eat his own transport. But her son used to drive her to school. And we used to duck her because some morning she'd pick you up and you'd be in school a half hour earlier because she'd be doctoring in the care going over, like, in the horse and trap that time, like, which was lovely. And I remember my friend, he'd a Driscoll out to Messenham, and we used to be going to school, but he'd an ear for the horse coming anyways. Come on, we'd jump to ditch anyway and leave her off, like, you know.
The school that John went to was a two-room building with maybe 40 pupils in each classroom. John describes a situation that we might describe as primitive conditions, but he really enjoyed going to school.
Two rooms, like. Oh, I suppose there was 40 pupils in each room, I'd say. Do you know? And Mrs. Ahern, she'd look after the infants, like. And that time I said there was no baby infants, there were just infants, first and second and third, I think, and you fourth, fifth and sixth down the master's room. And I think Con was a wonderful, wonderful teacher, like, he, you know, he had a lovely way about him, you know. So there was, you know, there was no dunces there, you know, that type of thing, you know, because he got the best out of you, you know.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful that, you know, that if you enjoyed the way he taught and everybody used to enjoy it there. Yeah, and was it boys and girls?
Good boys and girls, all mixed. There was no, we were no way shy that way, like, you know. And that time to the dry toilet, you know, that was done every 6 months, really. It was every, you know, when we used to go on holidays, like, you know, a dry toilet down the bottom of the yard and an open fire, you know. But they were a lovely stone building, like, I think buildings that should be kind of kept, like, and they should be restored, I think, because the timber and doors, like, were perfect. The roof, no, the slate's missing. The one, in Kilcriddendin, like that's knocked. They knocked that several years ago. There was, you know, there was some of the stone, I'm sure, used in the new school, you know.
As a young man, he began his working life farming and then moved to maintaining machinery before deciding on fishing. Knockadoon was a perfect place to make a living on the water, and he paints a wonderful picture of living in such a beautiful place.
I was working with my dad in back and forth, tinning beet and, you know, tapping beet and all that type of thing. And then when I was 16 or 17, then I went up into Irish Pen was named the place, contractor like. And he used to machinery, like fair machinery, he used to work on the council and just maintaining the machinery for him, like, you know, I'd keep it all, you know, kind of working. And I gave a good few years there.
What was Knockadoon like then?
Well, it was beautiful. It was just, you could see in a postcard. And the Dominicans were over there then, you know, from Cork, in the college there now. But that time, there used to be dancers there every weekend, you know. But they were just, it was just a lovely, lovely place. It was just like, you know, you were in a kind of a world of your own over there, you know. It was kind of untouched, you know. And you go down, you could do your, I couldn't swim, but you could do your bit of jumping about, you know. And we used to do a bit of fishing there, like, and you would, you know, people coming from little surrounding areas, like down, it was Sunday, it was Saturday, like. But then we started off salmon fishing then, and then we started off with this lobster, like, you know. And now there's shrimp there. You know, there with the shrimp now, because, like, what they always say, you close one door, he opens another, you know.
Rural Ireland has changed a lot over the past 20 years, and not necessarily for the best. Small villages are losing post offices, local pubs, shops, and young people. And some say it's losing its heart. John talks about how the village used to be and how the diaspora would visit in the summertime and enjoy the crack. No one would argue that drinking and driving is a destructive pastime. However, John makes the point that sometimes laws that are made in Leinster House are out of touch with rural Ireland, and this has contributed to older males in rural areas feeling more isolated. That is an argument for another day.
And there was four pubs there, and there was four shops there. Now there's only one pub there now open. There was one closed there maybe a month ago. I don't know who's closed. But Carter's pub, as we know, as we used to know it, like, that is Jerfin's now. That's the only pub there now, like. But it was a wonderful, wonderful little village. I'm telling you, it was like a picture card. You know, and the people come home from England, come from America, but the English people mostly, like, you know, all the natives that were gone, they'd bring back their families. And of course, there'd be a sing-song down the pub. They'd go back to England and they'd hear there and everywhere, and they'd go back and crush with a mighty night down and so on and so. And when they'd be passing back, they could be living in Yarl, they could be living in Castlemaine, they could be living in Middleton. They'd come and they'd come down with a night, because there was no laws at that time, you know. You could, if you could walk, you could drive, like, you know, that kind of a thing, you know. But you could stand up, you could drive, but now it is different, like, you know, which is a pity for the rural areas. Like, it is okay if to be living in towns, like, and whatever, like, with those laws, but God help us, like, when you go out, like where I'm living, I'm only living 2 miles from the village, and yet I can't come down to the village and have two drinks, like, and two drinks is nothing, like. You know, but like, you can't do that anymore. Don't build any houses out in the country, like where you were over, or where I'm above. No, you can't live there. All go into town. And we'll go into a bungalow inside and we'll be like Stirling's up in the pole, up in the wire, and leave the countryside alone. You want to live where you want to live. I wouldn't live in the city, like.
Fishing, hunting and shooting are all parts of the fabric of rural Ireland, and John speaks about his involvement in the local gun club. People who live in the countryside, in John's view, respect the resources in the area and also use the land for work and recreation. Members of the community in rural Ireland respect the land and the traditions of their local area.
as if in the dead. We knew every gap in the two parishes, you know, and we knew where we'd get a board, you know, where we'd get a, you know, we had some wonderful times, and I didn't, I'm not praising myself, but I kind of fancy myself as a shot, like, as a good shot, like, I'd only a single barrel gun, but I could, on two occasions anyway, and there's one of them still alive, myself in the sort of lay, and I shot two birds get up together, like, bang, bang, you'll see this fellow with the double barrel, but I don't need a single barrel, but I shot me men anyway, I loaded up again, and bang, and I got the other fella. And they were all shot, the two boats were shot perfectly on both occasions. No, they wouldn't believe it that today, but my friend in England, no, he could verify that for me, you know, Stephen Keefe.
And was there a big gun club following? Has it got less?
It was a fine club, and a good club. A club that really looked after the stocks, like, you know, I know we take an extra board maybe every now and then, you know, depending on, you know, they were a lovely crowd.
So they were respectful of the
respectful
of the,
like, I'll go back to the fishy again, like, they come along, the bailiffs come along and tell us, the governments come along and they tell us that you're not looking after the stock. People will look after the stock if they're left alone. You'll never spend the last bob, will you? Do you know what? You'll never eat the egg you want to hatch. Do you know what? The seeds, but you must think of tomorrow. The people that are making those laws, like, they're all city dwellers, like. They haven't a clue what's going on, like. Well, Chef, we were always talking about traditions. Keep these traditions alive. If you're an old wall over now, you must keep that built and maintained. You can't touch that, or you can't touch that. But they can take the salmon fishing off of us, like a tradition that we've done since Adam was a boy. Do you know, like, I think that's totally, totally wrong, like.
John finishes by speaking about the ceilidhs that took place in Knockadoon in his youth and about learning how to dance.
Yeah, there's be a ceilidh in Knockadoon. We had the best event, the Gaelic Lessons before there. Donald Ring, remember Donald Ring? I'm sure they're still going. There were some lovely bands there, and with the local band, you had them on there, and they know Cormac Lynch and them, they had a band here, Pat Lynch above, and that lovely little band. But they were all great little nights in the Siege of Venice, the you know, the Walls of Limerick, all those things, the military two-step. That's how you learn to dance, because there'd be some old dear over, like, and she'd be sitting down, and if you were, like, lifting the collar, she'd take you out, and she'd teach you the steps, and you'd have to do the steps, because you'd be, you know, you'd be throttled about it, like, you'd be, you know, so you got to kind of, I wasn't a wonderful dancer, but I do them little bits, you know, you're doing a crowd, you know, that type of thing.
And I suppose for younger people now, they wouldn't even know what that world would have been like, and the fun
and
that used to
free,
have.
And the wonderful thing was free, and you put in, a tenner, a shilling. No, it certainly wouldn't be a 2 shillings, like a florin, as we called it. A tenner at the door going in just to cover the lights or whatever, you know. And it was a timber building. A priest had it from the Dominicans in Cork. They were a nice people. And they used to give us the loan of the hall into Monknich, you know, in the winter time. And actually, there was a local man over there, Paddy O'Shea, a gentleman. And he used to caretake the place, you know, and we always got the key of a Paddy to go in and Mountain Hits, and no, they're still doing that over, like, you know, but in the wonderful way things, but memories are sweet, like, you know, and if I got it, I'd do the very same thing again, like, you know, I wouldn't
change a thing.
No, you'd probably do things better, like, you know.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
We would like to thank John Motherway for taking the time to speak with us and for sharing his thoughts and memories from his life. John's favourite artist was the man in black himself, Johnny Cash.
Alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. dark and day is light. I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine. I walk the line.
Older Voices was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee and in association with the Ballymacoda and Ladiesbridge Historical Society. Older Voices was produced and narrated by Orla Reardon and edited by Tomás O'Keefe. Older Voices is a Community Radio YAWL production.